It's a privilege to be able to deliver what Lord has put on my heart. I believe it ties in with what Phil has opened up for us in the book of Esther, which is a name. Out of all the notable women in Scripture, there's only two books of the Bible named after women. One is Esther, and the other is Ruth. All right. You know, we're all given a name. We're all created with a name. And we respond to that name when it's called. I said at the first service, if the name Mike was to be called out here, you get answers from several men this morning. Because we have a lot of Mikes here. And they would respond. My own name, Morris, I was the only one that grew up from grade school to middle school to high school. I was the only one that had the name Morris. So when my name got called out in class, there was no question of who the teacher was addressing in that situation. But God knows your name. And if you do not leave here today with anything but that, is to know that God knows your name and it means a great deal to him. So much that we can go to John 3:16, where God's word says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." And that word, "who," that denotes a person. And whoever, that just means no matter who, no matter the person, no matter the person. So we're the whoever. You, me, all over the world, the whoever is for everyone. Everyone. I did a little bit of research on names, and I found out if you take the entire world and all the different languages and all that, that there are close to 500 million names. Now, I know there's a lot more people than that, but names, because some of them are repeated just in a different language throughout the world. But God knows every one of those names. He knows every one of those people, because we're his creation. I'm going to go through some scriptures, four different scriptures this morning, two in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament, and then I'm going to bring us to remembrance of like three things concerning these scriptures. And it has to do with God calling out people's names. The first scripture is from Exodus chapter 3. And you probably heard this recently. Phil was on the life of Moses for a few weeks. So we're picking up in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And if you're not turning to it, I'm sure it's going to be up for you to follow along. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Who called to him? God. "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Three things to remember about this calling. God will sometimes use the unfamiliar or the strange to get your attention before he calls your name. And be open for the unfamiliar or strange. And when you hear the voice of God calling, answer. I've had one example. It was unfamiliar to me. When God called out to me one time, he didn't call my name, but he did speak to me. I was working, I was in Southern California at the time, and I was an electrician at that point. And it was 1984, and I was working on a light fixture, and I heard a voice say, because I had moved from Georgia to California, I heard a voice say, "Move to Georgia." I'm turning around to see who was speaking to me. It was just me. So I knew it was for me because no one else was around. So sometimes it's strange or unfamiliar when God calls you, when God speaks to you. So be open for that. But when you hear the voice of the Lord calling, answer. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 8 through 10. I want to give a little background here. Samuel, who was a little boy at the time, was serving in the temple of the Lord. He was under the care of Eli, the priest Eli. And Eli would sleep in one place, but Samuel chose to sleep before the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord. And so in the middle of the night, Samuel hears his voice called out. And he's thinking, it's Eli. Samuel. So he runs to Eli. And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel hears his voice again. Samuel. So he gets up and he runs to Eli again. "Here I am. You call me." Eli said, "No, wasn't me." Now, we're going to pick up when the third time happens at verse 8 here. 1 Samuel 3, verse 8. "The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Three things to remember about this calling. As we said, Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord near the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents God's presence. So, one, being in His presence is a great place to hear from Him. We can be in His presence when we're in His Word. We can be in His presence just as we're worshiping and praising God this morning. We can be in presence in our prayer time before the Lord. There's no place that we can't be in His presence. Being in His presence is a great place to hear Him. Second, there's a learning process of hearing God call your name. Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God to start with. He ran to Eli, and Eli said, "Answer him when he calls." And when you hear the voice of God calling, answer. When you hear the voice of God calling, answer. Got two more scriptures I want to go to in the New Testament. We're going to go to the book of John, chapter 20. And it's the fourth book of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. We're going to start at verse 16. And in this scripture, we're coming up where the disciples have discovered the tomb is empty. And they're deciding to go back home. But someone sticks around, okay? Verse 10. "Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Those first two examples, I have exclamations after Moses when God is calling Moses. "Moses, Moses." And then Samuel is exclamation. Here, he's just simply saying, "Mary." And then she recognizes her voice when she heard her name spoken by the Master. Three things to remember in this calling. Never stop seeking him. Mary did not stop seeking her Lord. Learn to recognize his voice. And we can look at Jesus' word, if we turn back about 10 chapters to chapter 10 in the book of John, and we read this in verses 2 and 3. "But the true shepherd walks right up to the gate, and because the gatekeeper knows who he is, he opens the gate to let him in, and the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him." He knows our name. Third thing, when you hear and recognize his voice, answer. Now we're in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 9, next book after John. We're going to be at verses 1 through 6. And most subtitles in this is Saul's conversion. Verse 1 of chapter 9. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" Three things to remember about this calling, God calling out this name. God is able to get your attention in flashy and dramatic ways sometimes. Even unbelievers. See, Saul was not a believer. I find that interesting. God got the attention of an unbeliever. Two, God is able to take your journey and make it his journey. He can take a misguided call and purpose and make it his upward call and purpose. And he did that for Saul. And he's done that for many. He did that for me. And lastly, even if it is a question of him calling you, answer. Who are you, Lord? Because he's speaking and he's calling and he's calling your name. So let's know and remember this. He does know you and he knows your name. David attested this in Psalms 139, verse 1, when he writes, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." He knows everyone sitting here. He knows everyone everywhere. When we have made that public declaration of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose on the third day, and we know we've confessed and repented, and he's forgiven us our sins, and now the word says our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. when that happens, we have a positive response to him calling us now that gives purpose to our life. When he called Moses, there was a purpose of it. He was going to be the deliverer of the Israelites from Egypt. When he called Samuel, there was a purpose behind it because he was giving Samuel a word to speak to Eli, the priest, as a boy. There was a purpose in him calling Mary because she was going to tell the disciples. Jesus said, I'm going to my father and your father. And he had a purpose in calling Saul to take the gospel message to the Gentiles. Our response to his calling gives us purpose in our life, and it changes our conduct before others. I didn't ask this scripture to put up there, but I want to read it from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We honor God with our body when we become his hands and feet. Through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, Samuel had to sleep in the temple near the Ark of the Covenant to be in God's presence. His presence is inward in us. It's already there. There's never a time that we're not without his presence. Know this, we have purpose in the kingdom of God. Just as Esther did, that feels started the series in. And I might be getting a little bit ahead, but I think he went through the first three chapters. Four is where we read, for such a time as this, she was called. We're called, I believe, each and every one of us, for such a time as this, in any given moment, any given day. There's purpose given to Moses and Samuel and Mary and Paul. There's purpose given to Pastor Philip. There's purpose given to each and every one of us because we've come to him and he knows our name. Pastor Philip made a couple of statements in last week's message, and I was writing as fast as I could, and they may or may not be exactly accurate, but I think you're here from this. We are all created with gifts. And the greatest question we can ask ourselves is, why has God given me this gift? My life now before him is not my own, as we just read. It now belongs to him. The gift is not for me to leverage for my own good. It is first and foremost for him. Our giftings, our callings are for his kingdom and his kingdom purposes. Here and now. Not later, but for here and now. God has created each of us, by name and for a purpose in his kingdom. When we identify with the body of Christ, whether here at Vertical or Hawassi or even online or the little couch church in Tifton, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And that purpose is to be about the Father's business, just as Jesus was. And the way to be about his business is actively applying our giftings and callings that he has placed in us. So lastly, know this, he has called you by name. We sing a song titled, Came to My Rescue. It's going to be a part of the closing, I think, too. And I love this song. There's powerful words in it. of us seeking Him, falling before Him, giving our life to Him. But the chorus goes like this. I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I want to be where you are. And He does answer. Now, it may not always be in our timing, but He does answer. In praying through this message and putting it together, I had this thought for myself, and I think it applies to each and every one of us. He answers me, but do I always answer Him when He calls? Boy, that just, Lord, that did something to me. Do I always answer Him when He calls? Am I willing to change up that song that we're singing and say, He called and I answered? Just as Moses did, and Samuel and Mary and Saul. When I sense Him calling me out into my giftings and callings, I want to be able to say, yes, Lord, here I am. What can I do? Where do you want me to be? Where can I go? But I have to confess, on many occasions, I have fought answering Him when He calls. But then He reminds me, just as we read, I am not my own. I've been bought at a price. And my life is precious to Him because He gave His only, one and only Son for me, for you, for the entire world. I want to be honest with you about something. I once got burned out on organized religion. I may be talking to some right people today. Spiritual wounds run deep. And this was my third time of going through some pretty deep spiritual wounds in ministry. And I came home from a meeting one night and I told my wife, Sarah, I'm done. And so for a period of 2 years, we formed CO2, and it's not carbon dioxide. We called it the Church of Two. My wife and I sitting on the couch on Sunday morning, streaming in worship, looking at the scriptures. I just wasn't going to do it in a group setting. I was just done. Went through a book written by Derek Prince on grace. That was very helpful. I mean, it really was. And it took a while, like I said, almost 2 years, but we had been coming back and forth to Blairsville area, taking care of my dad since 2015, and now it's 2020. And Sarah said, if we're going to move up to Blairsville, we've got to find a church. And I heard that. And we found Vertical. And I've got so many testimonies I've heard of people at Vertical saying, I found Vertical Church. It's nothing magical about it. It's just like God is orchestrating and putting people together here at Vertical for a purpose and a reason, because you have giftings and callings that He needs. I really believe that. And it took a while, and I'm so grateful that I serve a patient and loving God, because He's been so patient and loving toward me. Because even though I had begun to respond again to my giftings and callings, it was very little at a time. But sometime last year, the Lord just solidified in me how He called. He's reminding me of when He called me into full-time ministry, and that was in 1998. I was sitting at a wedding, and it was the end of the wedding. There was a song being played. The couple were taking communion as their first act of marriage. And I had my eyes closed just listening to the song, a beautiful song about the body of Christ. And the Lord gave me a vision. I mean, it was a vision. I felt like I was there looking just like I'm looking out at you now. It was a vision. And he was calling me. He was calling my name, Morris. And he was using the scriptures from John 21, where he reinstated Peter. And he was saying, Morris, do you love me? And I said, I was saying, yes, Lord, in this vision. He said, then feed my lambs. Then he asked me again, Morris, do you love me? And I was saying, yes, Lord. And he said, then take care of my sheep. And the third time, and by this time I'm weeping, there's tears coming down my eyes. And he said, Morris, do you love me? And I'm in my vision, I'm saying, yes, Lord. He said, then feed my sheep. So last year, maybe even 18 months ago, I renewed that and said, yes, Lord, I'll feed your lambs. I'll take care of your sheep. I'll feed your sheep in whatever way I can. I want to ask the worship team to come back up as we close this down. You know, I had put up walls. I had put up protection around me. I just didn't want that hurt again. I believe there's some here that have put up walls of protection. Well, there's some fears, there's some hurts, and God is saying, I'm tearing those down. I'm tearing those down this morning, whether here or in Hawassi or online, even in Tifton. I'm tearing those hurts. I'm taking them away so you can again be my hands and feet for my kingdom purposes. I've placed within you gifts and callings. Paul speaks of it in 1 Corinthians 12 about our giftings and callings. He speaks of it in Romans of giftings and callings that we have. And they're not just for us. It's because they're for the people. In Phil's devotion this week, he said this, let's use our gifts as a way to show respect and lift others up. They're not for us. They're for those around us. Amen. So many giftings and callings here within Vertical. And he's called you here for purpose. I want to pray this morning for those that know and sense he's calling. I want to pray for those this morning. I've got walls up. Let's tear them down. Let's step back into what God has anointed me for, the giftings and callings he's given me. Maybe you're not quite sure what that is, but you're sensing something that God's calling you to. I want to pray for you. If you allow me, I'd like to lay hands. There's nothing magical about it. I'm just being obedient to what the Lord has said. So lay hands on those. Let that be a release. If you would be open to that, I would like the opportunity to do that and agree with you and what he is leading you to, what he is preparing you for. And hopefully we can agree in our hearts and spirits today that he called, and I answered. Amen.